be here.
Thank you. And also in the air room is Daria Troxell and Sean Cleveland. So we're going to have two Seans, Seyfried and Cleveland. Now, Sean Seyfried, you're the senior product manager for the Creative Collection, which is really just all the software that Pinnacle makes, pretty much, right?
Well, specifically in the professional sort of area for business editors, yeah, that's right. So I manage Edition, which is our sort of prosumer editing software. I also manage Commotion, which is our visual effects software, and two plugins that we sell, Title Deco, which does titles and rolls and crawls and all the kind of things you see for titles on TV commercials, as well as a package we call Hollywood Effects, which is a 3D effects generator, basically. It lets you take two video streams and combine them with 3D video effects. So if you ever see a video sort of spinning off of a screen as another one comes on, that's what Hollywood Effects does.
We saw that in, like, the Olympics. Was that your product?
Not specifically, but Pinnacle's on-air character generators were used in the Olympics. So we have a product called FX Deco, which is kind of the hardware version of our Title Deco product that was used in the Olympics to generate the 3D characters that you saw flying around on the screen.
So that has to be, when you say hardware, I mean, that's kind of a blurry line, but I mean, no, not really that blurry, but some of this is software editing. Sometimes you need a lot more processing power than normal machines can handle, so you include hardware as well. Is that about it? Well,
that's pretty close, actually. What we do with the with our high-end products is basically we package up a PC with specific video I/O hardware, and typically a broadcaster has something called SDI interconnections that they need. SDI stands for Serial Digital Interconnect, and it's a way of moving digital bits back and forth in an uncompressed format, and it gives you the highest quality. It's going to maintain sort of pristine pixels all the way through your processing pipeline, and that's why you have to build a special box for it.
Now, aren't they broadcasting MPEG-2, or is that incorrect?
That's true. Almost all of the cable head ends, all the cable stuff, all the boxes that you have in your house generally are an MPEG-2 decoder, as well as PVRs like TiVo all use MPEG-2 to encode or capture the media onto a disc.
Okay, but when you're broadcasting, it's encoded at that time too, isn't it?
Well, there's sort of three stages. If you think about it, first you have kind of the creative end where you're creating the characters and titles, and that's always done in an uncompressed form. It's the same as if you're in Photoshop just creating pixels. But once you put it out to air, you want to encode it in a format that your TV can receive. And, you know, there's different standards around the world for that. In the United States, they have NTSC, and that's the standard it's used to encode it. Generally, if it's going over a wire to a cable head end, then it's going to go through an encoding process in MPEG-2. And basically what that allows them to do is to get more channels on one wire.
Okay, I get that. Now, I noticed on your website and also some of your publicity, you have Emmy Awards. I actually knew that companies do get Emmy Awards, but how's that different than, like, the Emmy that an actor would get?
Well, it's actually a technical Emmy for some advancements or improvements in television production.
So it's not for a specific piece, it's more for what you've put forth?
Right. It's usually for a specific kind of hardware or a technology that a company provides.
Do a lot of companies get these kind of things, technical?
The bigger companies do. We've won 8. Apple just won 1. Avid's won several over the years. But it really has to do with, you know, being able to provide some innovation for television. And I think Pinnacle won their first for on-air video effects. We were the first company to actually create kind of live 3D transitions. You know, the page rolls and page curls you see where one image looks like it's peeling off and another is coming on. That was actually provided first by Pinnacle in the broadcast space.
And it actually takes a lot of processing power.
Exactly.
And that's why it needs the hardware solution.
Right, exactly. That's why they have dedicated hardware. Though, these days, the PCs and Macs are getting so fast that you can just do it on your old PC and not worry about having extra hardware.
And that's actually a package I kind of want to talk about, because we a while ago we had one of your competitors, Premiere, on, partial competitor, I guess, because they're not complete overlaps.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about video editing suites that Premiere offers, and there's a lot of other companies out there. You lead, Sean, help me out here. Vegas Video, which is
Sonic Foundry.
So there's quite a few products that are kind of aimed at end user buying a video camera, specifically most likely a DV camera and or mini DV, and coming home on their hopefully partially high-end machine and then editing their kids' movies or a baseball game that they film themselves, that kind of thing. So one of your suites that you have that you that I just kind of looked at over the last week was a Pinnacle Edition DV. And that kind of has a, well, a complete bundle of things you need to go from your camera, editing, 3D stuff, all the way out to burning a DVD. So I kind of want to talk about that product because it's kind of a central to a lot of the listener base rather than the more high-end commercial type of stuff.
Sure, sure. Most people will never, ever get their hands on an FX Deco or other broadcast gear. Cause
we're talking about thousands, I mean...
tens of thousands of dollars.
Even the package we used, Studio 8, is high-end.
Yeah, well, yeah, right, right. So let's talk about that a little bit. One of the things you have in there, of course, is an editing suite. Now, I cracked this open last week because I was looking at DVD authoring stuff. Lots of products are coming out in the market right now that allow you to take your home movies, encode it, and make a DVD out of it. And after going through a couple suites that Sean and I were able to pull together from companies, we looked at the DVD authoring stuff, and it's really kind of limited. There were some deficits in the authoring type of DVD stuff.
That's for sure.
Making menus, making taking a full clip and then making chapters in that so you can hit the next button. Features that we're used to as a DVD consumers, but weren't really out there. Then I installed Pinnacle and went, oh yeah, okay, this is it. You really much, pretty much the Pinnacle, and I know that it's not part of your package, but I mean, it's part of the DV, it's just not part of your software. You don't manage that group.
Right.
But the Impression kit, the DVD authoring called Impression, very impressive. Can you tell me a little bit about the production of that or tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. When I started a little bit with the history, Pinnacle actually acquired this product from a company called Minerva, who decided to get out of this space and go into interactive TV. And so we said, hey, we want that MPEG stuff because we wanted to get into the DVD authoring area. And Impression basically allows you to build a DVD on an editing timeline. All the DVD packages in the past always used sort of a flow graph or a chart that you had to build to connect your chapters to your video. And so when you clicked on that next button gets connected to some piece of media on a DVD disc. Well, that used to be done through a pretty complicated process where you had to connect a lot of lines or create sort of a flow chart. And we hooked on to Impression because it has this great, really simple kind of metaphor where you put the menu on the track, and then you put the video on the track, and you link the two together, and that's it.
Very familiar with people that are used to editing video in
right.
a track format in a timeline base.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You know, this package looks like it's the package that's used by studios to do their production DVDs for movies.
What is used for studios, do you know?
It's actually probably more likely a high-end package called Sonaris. That's the one or Spruce, which no longer exists. Both of those packages were bought up by other companies. So
it's kind of a malleable field right now, the DVD authoring field.
It is. And you can see that what's happening today actually is a lot of that functionality or those features for doing DVD are actually moving directly into the editing product. And that's what we've done with Studio 8. You can actually build your chapters, your connections all on the Studio 8 timeline just like you would in Impression. Now, it's obviously simpler because you don't have multiple tracks in Studio, but with the Studio software, you get the same kind of experience that you do in Impression. It's just a much more simple approach for the home user.
I'm sorry, what is Studio?
Studio 8 is our consumer software that's lists for $99, and it lets you edit movies in a very simple form. It only has
on par with iMovie or iDVD by Apple?
Exactly.
Okay.
PC equivalent of that. The difference being that we've added in Studio 8 the same DVD authoring capabilities that you have in Impression.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just drop a chapter onto our simple timeline, and it automatically creates all of the
It's funny when you say simple timeline. I mean, I opened it up and was trying to figure out how to make buttons connect to clips, and it took me quite a while. I finally was like, okay, there's got to be something. So I whipped out documentation, your help menu, and of course I found it right away. It was as simple as I could possibly imagine. It's just taking it and dragging it over, which was very cool. Okay, so great product, I mean, I think, Impression DVD, or Impression, the DVD authoring suite. That is one thing that I talked about before the show. I am trying to wrap my mind around all these names you guys have, and I'm sure it's very clear internally, but I didn't know what Impression was, or Edition, Title Deco. Title Deco is pretty clear. At least it says title. You kind of understand it's decoration title. Hollywood FX or Commotion. Those are all products that are inside of your package. And seriously, I had to continue before I just figure out what I want to install. I had to look at the outside of the package. And you luckily have a little chart that tells you what each one does. But why these names? Who came up with these names?
Actually, Pinnacle has acquired all of these packages over the last, going back probably 8 or 9 years to Title Deco. But Hollywood Effects, Commotion, Impression, in addition, are all products that Pinnacle has brought under their umbrella and were previously
and
done
kept the names.
And kept the names of those products.
Now, why keep the names? Because there's already a market share out there and you didn't want to lose that?
Yeah, there was a certain amount of customer recognition for them. You know, people know, at least in the post-production field, Commotion as a tool for removing people from backgrounds.
Okay, so. I guess we're getting too marketing spiel. We should really get more technical. Right, Sean?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, first off, let me talk about graphic user interface. I noticed in dealing with Impression, even though that's not exactly your management product, I love the interface. It was very clean, easy to use, understood it. And then this morning, because I realized that I better look at this product before you come on air, woke up early, thank you, Daria, and took a look at Edition, which is really the editing suite of it, and that does importing, too, from, like, DV cameras and from files, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so open this up. Wow. It's got its very complete interface. It's a very new way of doing work. That's what it felt like. I felt like I was lost right away. I wasn't happy with it. So I want to know how you came about with the graphic user interface design of this application. This is another thing that just was acquired and just stayed?
Yeah, that's part of the case. It was an interface that we inherited from a broadcast line of products that we had bought last year from a company called Fast Multimedia. But I actually like the interface after you get used to it because
it looked like it would be very efficient after you got used to it.
That's the main benefit to it, is that you don't have any palettes or windows that overlap each other. Everything has a place on the screen. And once you figure out where that place is for that particular tool, you never have to remember, oh, is that inside the button that opens up
the trick, of course,
dialogue?
Is finding out what it does in the first place.
Exactly.
Luckily, you do have good tool tips. That's the cursor over, float over, and give you text. Text is going to come up. But, man, I really did feel lost. Luckily, you guys have probably the largest reference manual I've seen in software in years. It's really quite large, and it really tells you a lot about how things are working. It kind of even gives you a tutorial type of feel to it. I like the book. But there was one other key feature that I thought was so cool that you guys have. It's very easy to access. This little thing that said, I think keyboard, is that the name of the title menu? The icon on the bottom right, keyboard, brings up a keyboard. And it just showed you a keyboard and all the shortcuts that the keys did.
Sweet.
Oh,
that's nice.
You know, there's games out there and applications out there, and you can reassign the keys, which, of course, is a nightmare if you switch out with someone else. But you always have to, like, look at a reference book or try to figure out what it is, and it's hard to find what the keys do.
Yeah.
And this was like, show me a picture and give me icons, and then, of course, you hover over those. I could tell that it was built for using at a high level of editing.
Right. It really is built around efficiency. And if you dig down a little further, we actually have a keyboard control panel that allows you to reassign any key to any function in the application. And that's really meant for people who, you know, come from other systems.
A long time. Right.
Or let's say I'm a Premiere user and I want to use this, or I'm an Avid guy or whatever. You can feel comfortable because you can just assign a particular key that you're always used to, and it's right there at your fingertips rather than having to relearn something, which can be the biggest challenge to getting into a new piece of software.
That's true. And I thought that, it's built for efficiency. But then after I jumped out of the application to check what time it was, because I knew I was going to be late for work, and noticed that my entire background of all my Windows and Windows OS was changed to this gray that was used for Pinnacle Edition. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of nasty. But then again, you're looking at this product for being a standalone application on this, like the only application they run?
Well, typically, you know, if you're in a video editing session, you're not jumping out of the application to go to another app to do something. You're usually editing on the timeline, creating effects, capturing video, outputting video.
You're kind of
whatever.
Doing that. You're not really
right,
doing
you're inside attacking. Of that. And actually, if you do a minimize inside the application rather than just jumping to another app,
it changes it back.
It replaces the scheme that we use and puts it back to whatever your default is.
Cool. Good. I'm glad it does that.
So we tried to not totally take over your machine.
Yeah, I think you did a pretty good job. This is Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell, and I'm harassing Sean Seyfried from Pinnacle Systems. In the auditorium with us is Daria Troxell and Sean Cleveland, and we're talking about video editing, specifically the Pinnacle suite of products. I'm going to invite you to all call in now and join our discussion, 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. We'd love for you to join us. You can ask us about video editing stuff, and I'm sure Sean will be able to help us out. If not, maybe another caller will be able to help out. So call in now. The phone number is, again, 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877.
I want to take a step back just for a second. We're talking about editing what type of data? Not a video, but a digital video, a DV.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
Because you're doing keyframes, right?
Well, inside the application, we capture into and we edit in the DV format. And the DV format is the same format as appears or gets captured onto your tape when you have a digital video
camcorder. It's a digital video, but it still has a tape.
Right. The difference with respect to digital video and VHS is, Sean?
Well, a couple things. One is resolution. VHS is only half the resolution of a DV source. So,
what's the DV source resolution?
DV source is actually just a few lines short of the broadcast spec. It's 720 pixels by 480 pixels in the U.S. And if you look at the older VHS standard, what you get captured onto a VHS tape in your VCR is only half height resolution. So you're only capturing 240 lines of information, which is why when you make a copy of the tape, that source tends to degenerate very quickly because you don't have a lot of information there in the image.
I also, it's amazing because Daria and I switched to DVD quite a while ago, and that's not the same type of thing, but it's encoded, but the same video as broadcast video, but then encoded, so you do have some loss, but not something you can really notice normally. And now you go back a couple, year and a half later, 2 years later, and you go look at VHS, and it's just like, and the product, the quality is horrible. Wouldn't you agree, Sean?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Well, and the interface, too. I mean, we've become so used to wanting to go to this chapter or that scene. I mean, we did that all weekend, you flipping around to specific things that we just wanted to see and not have to forward and rewind.
And the idea of special features, and you're looking at full feature film, all that stuff. And the cool thing now, of course, is that you get a DVD burner, you get a suite like Pinnacle Edition, and you can start doing this on, well, and a DVD camera or a DV camera. And you can start editing this kind of stuff and making DVDs at home, which is amazing.
And on the other side, if you have an HDTV set or something very nice and a progressive DVD player, you can actually get better resolution than you would normally to play that stuff back on.
We're in the process of editing something right now, and the quality of it is just amazing, I mean, comparatively.
Yeah. We're editing Mountain Community Theater's Grease.
I wasn't going to mention it.
Okay,
but,
that's fine. I thought you might want to.
There you go.
We have Darren from Seaside. Hello, Darren, and welcome to Geek Speak. Maybe we don't have Darren from Seaside, I would guess. Darren, are you with us? Hey, it's Geek Speak, and I became a non-geek and didn't push the right button. Hi, Darren. Welcome.
Hello. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Can you pick up your phone?
I'm actually on a cell phone.
Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can do it.
Great. I have a question about... I think it's a product in Pinnacle Tools called the Automatic Scene Detection or Auto Logger Tools.
Okay.
And I was curious if you could talk a little bit about how that works.
Sure. So it's not something that's specifically built into Edition, this version. It's going to be in our next version, but you've probably seen it either in our Premiere-based products called DV500 or Pro One, or probably in the studio products which feature this.
Darren, where did you see it?
I think the DV500, yeah.
Yep, okay, so we have a thing called DV Tools, which does auto scene capture. And essentially what happens on the DV tape is there's a little marker placed at the each time you start the camera, and that flag is set, it's just a digital bit on the tape, and an editing software can interpret that as a break in the scene automatically, because you know from that flag being on that at this frame, you've got a new start frame, and you've got a new scene that's being captured. So the camera is doing this for you automatically, and it's just a matter of the software interpreting it. So what we do in DV Tools is it automatically grabs the video, and as it's going along, as soon as it sees one of those little flags, it just starts a new file and creates a new index that says, this is scene one, scene two, scene three.
And that's not actually uncommon for a lot of the video suites. I know that... Vegas Video, when it imports, it actually makes a new clip each time.
That's
right. And saves it as a different, unique file.
That's right. Same thing as we do in DV Tools.
So it's not actually doing scene detection. In other words, if I would use, say, your DV500 product and capture analog from my Hi8 tapes, I could not use that feature. Is that right?
No, it's not the same.
You're not detecting same, like a blackout kind of situation?
No, we're not. We're not. We do try to do that inside a studio because a lot of our studio users are coming from Hi8 or older VHSC or other kinds of formats that are all analog. But you tend to get kind of uneven results. If you start and stop the camera a lot, you can tend to get very, very short clips of just a few frames, and it tends to not work as well as you'd like, and certainly not as reliably as the DV format does.
Great. One last question.
Go ahead, Darren.
I am looking at the DV500 product because I do have a lot of Hi8 tapes as well as my DV tapes.
Uh-huh.
So you said earlier that you're editing typically, that's editing with Premiere, is that right?
That's right.
And you're editing in the native DV format?
That's true.
But if I is that true even if I capture from my analog Hi8 tapes?
Yes, it is. Because what basically the feeds from either the 1394 port on the DV500 or the analog ports will get turned into a DV AVI file on your disk.
Great.
So
okay.
whenever you bring in that analog stuff, it's going to get transcoded to DV.
Great, Darren. Thank you for the call. And we have John. John from Scotts Valley. Hi, John. Welcome to
Geek Speak. Hi, good evening. How are you?
Quite well, thank you.
Hey, thanks. I enjoy the show. Regular fan. Doing a startup, working out of my house, trying to do a lot with a little bit. And one of the things that I was hoping to do was create promotional CDs or DVDs, I guess. I have fairly technical. I have a decent computer.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to find a way to sort of do this myself, if you will. Excuse me. So with a little bit of perseverance and a little bit of technical savvy and putting it all together, I really like to marry video with PowerPoint and
okay.
an auto start function so I can put that on and burn in my own DVDs and use them as promotion. And I was wondering if you could give me some feedback or what advice you might have for me.
Well, I would probably start simple and try Studio 8 because it can do exactly what you're talking about. The other thing I would say is to marry the two, both PowerPoint and video files, you're going to need to get them into a video form. You need to get the PowerPoint information into a video format, which mm-hmm. means saving your PowerPoint slides as either as a still image that we can read, like a TIFF file or a JPEG, or actually exporting them in a format like DV or an AVI file so that you can then bring them into a studio or an editing application to edit them together.
Now, John, that's the pinnacle solution. There's other solutions out there, too, of course.
Sure.
No offense, John.
No problem.
But,
Let me ask you this. On the Studio 8 solution, I mean, is that a hardware and a software solution, or am I going to need something to a video encoder of some
kind? Do you have a FireWire port?
I believe I do.
Okay. So you're already set for the input if you're coming from a DV source. Studio is $99, so you're not going to be in deep on the software if you want to try it out. The other thing that you can do with Studio is that it allows you to burn to a CD in Super Video CD or Video CD format.
Mm-hmm.
So that means somebody with a fairly new DVD player from Philips or Sony can just pop one of those CDs into their DVD player and play it back just like it was a DVD.
Mm. And or through a computer that has a good DVD playing software.
Now, does it have to be encoded in DVD, or what if I want to do it in a non-DVD format? Or
You could save it as like an MPEG movie.
Yes,
but then it would just play. It wouldn't have interactive features.
So if I want the interactive features where people can go back and look at certain sections or subsections or...
You could do the whole thing in PowerPoint and save a PowerPoint file, and then the person has to have PowerPoint installed. But I think they have a free viewer. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, see, the people I'm dealing with are going to be non-technical, so...
So
I think my best bet would be to try to get it all in a DVD format.
Or a VCD, or
a video
VCD.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just not as big. You don't have as much...
Yeah, imagine kind of
storage,
most of the DVD features on a CD instead. The quality's less, and some of the features are a little less, but that's the option. One of the other solutions that I can think of is Snazzy. Right, Sean? Cleveland?
That's
one of them. I just recently looked at a product of theirs. Wasn't real happy with a lot of things, but they did have a equivalent to PowerPoint thing that they could burn right to CDs that would play on most machines and a free player.
Great.
So you might want to take a look at Snazzy. But I wouldn't shy away from Pinnacle, especially if they've got a $99 product that
No, absolutely. I'll take a look at their product. One last question, if I may, and then I'll get off so other people can ask their questions as well. Is if I don't have it, I'm not sure I do have the 1394 outputs of the camera. If I only have, I guess it's the audio, the RGB, I guess, the two audio-video, composite video and audio?
Composite video,
Well, then what do I have to do? Do I have to just get a separate type of encoding board, or is that going to be a non-starter?
What you need is just essentially a 1394 PCI card, because I assume your machine has a PCI slot for
I'm sure it does.
Well, wait, does what kind of camera?
No, my VCR, my handheld recorder doesn't have the 1394. It has just composite video.
So, you know, Pinnacle makes a whole bunch of different hardware solutions. But I would suggest, and a lot of companies make these, but one product that I could point you to is Studio Deluxe, which captures both analog and digital.
Okay.
And you install that PCI board in a little breakout box that has the familiar VCR-style connectors that
you use. Great. Guys, thanks a lot. You've been a great help.
John, thanks for the call.
Bye.
Okay, Sean Seyfried, we're running out of time a little bit, but do you have anything else you want to talk about with regarding Pinnacle or video editing? We didn't talk at all about your core product that you really like.
Well, we did touch a bit on Edition. I just wanted to mention there was a couple of other things that are interesting in the package, like Commotion, a full version of that is bundled in with all the capabilities to do rotoscoping, which allows you to paint frame by frame on a video.
So you can add, like, lightsaber effects.
Exactly. And it's the same engine that was used for Star Wars 1, Star Wars 2, Gladiator, you name it. There's a lot of different films, Lord of the Rings, all those the companies that they use are production tools to cut people out of backgrounds. And so it's a great tool for...
And put people on top of green screens and things like that.
Exactly. So that's, I would say, you know, if you're looking for a package to do everything, DVD, editing, visual effects, it's a really pretty good value at $6.99.
I didn't know that Commotion did that, and I've had the product for a week or so, but I think I'm going to go home tonight and do some lightsabers. Sounds like fun.
Maybe.
Oh, okay. Maybe not. Well, Sean Seyfried, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
If people are interested in Pinnacle, it's pinnaclesystems.com, P-I-N-N-A-C-L-E, systems, S-Y-S-T-E-M-S.com. That's all one word. Sean Cleveland, thank you. Daria Troxell, thank you. Maggie, thank you for answering the calls. To people that called in, thank you very much for calling in. Without us, it would be a whole bunch of geeks yakking. No one wants to listen to that. And Sean Seyfried, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
This program has been supported by a grant from Seagate Technology. Seagate is a worldwide supplier of disk drives and PCs for PCs and servers, and innovations for products like the Microsoft Xbox, digital video recorders, and digital jukeboxes. Information is available at Seagate.com.
This has been Geek Speak on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Ardo, or we're on the web at kusp.org. Next week, Geek Speak will be back with a geek call-in show. So jot down your problems this week and give us a call. We'll see you next week, Monday at 6:30. Stay tuned now for Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Lang. But first, a little bit of Stardate.
Stardate, October 28th. The last quarter moon slides past Jupiter the next couple of mornings. The giant planet looks like an intensely bright cream-colored star. It rises a little after the moon tonight, and they both stand high overhead at first light tomorrow. The moon officially reaches last quarter at 11:28 p.m. Central Standard Time tonight. It forms a right angle with the sun and Earth, so sunlight illuminates half of the lunar hemisphere that faces our way. That makes the moon look like someone sliced it down the middle, like a ripe melon.